It's a header on goal! And Jordan Morris has done it! Appealing in vain for offside. The Chicago Fire defenders, Jordan Morris, from the doorstep, saves the day for the Sounders.
Clear. A foot race the other way. Look who's running hard after defensively. Wayne Rooney, the net is empty. Big collision by the captain. That is unbelievable effort. Rooney putting one up. Acosta. Header. Goal. Hat-trick Acosta.
Paul picks it up. Paul's cross. Ibrahimovic. Are you serious?
It doesn't get much better than this, folks.
Hello and welcome to the Stateside Soccer Show. My name is Jordan. With me, as always, is Logan. How was your holiday, Logan?
It was good. I had the in-laws in, and so I got to celebrate with them. We've never hosted Thanksgiving, so that was fun. Thanksgiving is like a coordinated dance, especially when you only have two burners on your stove that work currently, and you have to operate like you're a timeline. So you have like 2 hours, because we do like the turkey breast instead of like a full turkey, so it doesn't take as long. But you do have to coordinate. It's like 2 hours for that in the oven, and then you have the gravy, and you have the green bean casserole, and then you have to put that in the oven with the turkey, and it's all wild. So I think a lot of that. What else did we do? Ashley's birthday was on Friday, right. Black Friday. So yeah, so Thanksgiving was celebrating all sorts of stuff. It's always a busy time for us because her birthday's on that day, usually following Thanksgiving or right up to Thanksgiving. So it's always an interesting time.
Sometimes Thanksgiving.
Yeah, right.
It's good to hear. Hopefully she had a good birthday.
Yeah, she didn't ask for any Orlando City stuff, so.
That's odd.
I know. I thought so too.
Maybe after this weekend, it's a good choice. Not that you asked, but my holiday was good too.
How was your holiday, Jordan?
Thank you. It was good.
Yeah.
It was good. We both got to sit around and watch our team lose in the playoffs.
That's a lot of fun. Course. Yeah.
Yeah. So,
right.
Used to that. Yearly tradition.
Would love doing that. they never get to each other, though. Like, they never get to each other. It's like, all right, we could finally get to each other. No.
No.
We should start betting, Jordan, on that. Like, we could just be like, you know what?
They usually do in the Open Cup. I feel like I've seen them play in the Open Cup a few times, but yeah. Never in the MLS playoffs. So that was a bummer of a time, I guess. But we're here. We had a nice break. We didn't have to record for quite a bit because we took last week off for the holiday. So hopefully everybody survived without the show. I know you did. So here we are. We're back. We're recapping the games that just happened. We're previewing the games this weekend. And we're also talking about these awards that were handed out recently, as we now have our MVP. It's Luciano Acosta, who most people assumed was going to get it. And you know what? I kind of wish MLS would stop spoiling this, by the way. It's like a few days beforehand, there was like a special announcement. It's going to happen at the place where most people think the MVP is. And you're like, all right, there it is. They won MVP. Congrats. I get it, because I guess they have to get the media there and stuff. But still, just kind of sucks that it's usually spoiled.
Yeah, it's wild to me that they don't just let the local media take over like they've been doing all year. They're the ones that have been at every single one of their games. It's not like the national media is really going to pick that up. And it's funny because no other sports do this, so it's not ever leaked. They always do. But I think the thing is, they do like a ceremony where they have an awards like banquet kind of thing. I don't even know if they televise any of them. But I know they have like a celebration.
Well, baseball does it like on MLB Network.
That's true.
They're like, here's all the Gold Gloves. Here's all the, you know, that's what the next step is, I think, here.
It's kind of fun.
For Apple TV. For this MLS Best 11, like do a little presentation on Apple TV, right? Like season pass.
Mm-hmm.
I think that'd be fun. God knows we need content for it, right? So you can have like a 30-minute special where they're like, who do you think is going to be on it? And then they're like, all right, well, let's reveal it. And then you could interview a player or two and be like, what does it mean to be MLS Best 11? And they're like, nothing, really. It doesn't mean much. But here's the team. It's doesn't have a real formation, all right? There's three forwards on this thing. Denny Bouanga, Giakoumakis, Chucho Hernandez. Midfielders, we have Acosta, Almada, Hector Herrera, Hani Mukhtar. And then in defense, we have Miazga, Parker, Zimmerman with Berkey in goal. So you have a 3-4-3 lineup here. I don't know the best way to do this, honestly. I know people say, well, you know, they don't actually have like a real lineup for this. They're just forcing players on who had a good season. It does limit, I think, some things, right? Like, we don't really have a right back or left back on here. It's like three center backs, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a problem, I think. But also, I think it is nice that we're not limited because you're able to acknowledge many, many people in different positions if you want to and just kind of force it on there. I feel like we should be acknowledging the people that had the best seasons, not just the best season at a position. So my example is, let's say every left back sucked in the league, you being forced to be like, well, that was the best left back. So I do like that they can do that, but also, yeah, it's not really a best 11. I don't know what else they can call it, because it's not really the best 11, because there's no way this team goes out there on the field and actually plays well as a 3-4-3. It's probably not really working out that well.
Yeah, I mean, I guess what you could do is just give it the blanketed statement of like, first MLS team, second MLS team, because technically,
like first they all could pro all be, and all that.
Yeah, it's the same as the NBA, like doing that kind of thing. Jordan, he had 31 goal contributions, Lucho Acosta did. And he's the only player, or sorry, he's the sixth player in history to have three consecutive seasons of 10 and 10. So that's nuts. Like, the fact that he's been such a staple in MLS, and I think he often gets passed over because he had the time where he's left and then come back and had that opportunity with DC, and now has had the opportunity to lead Cincinnati. And both teams have been successful that he's kind of led. I kind of wanted to get your opinion on it because you've been watching longer than I have. Where do you kind of rank Lucho Acosta as far as maybe even midfielders and then maybe even players? Would you necessarily put him on your Mount Rushmore? Like, is he starting to get up into that rank of like, he's one of the more special players that's played here? Because I feel like he might not be talked about as much, but that's an incredible amount of goal contributions in one season. And then to continue to do that for 3 years is just...
I'll say no. I don't think I can put him on a Mount Rushmore yet. You know what would really seal it? If he becomes the first player in forever to get two MVPs. The last one is Preki, right? He's done it twice where he got two MVPs. No other player has more than one MVP. So it almost feels like it's one of those things where a player has a really outstanding season, they get MVP, and then the next year that team struggles, whether because that player's injured, that player is not available, they leave, or they just have a down season. I mean, he's really, I loved him when he was on DC. I love him right now. He's definitely a fun player to watch, but I don't think I can be like, oh, he's like an all-timer at this point. Because I feel like there's more than just on the field stuff too. Like, I feel like when you look at the Mount Rushmore, you have to look at players like Beckham that came in and changed the league, but you also have to, you know, Wando, who has the most goals, right? And Landon, who had, you know, the most goals until then, but he was also like a fixture of a team that won multiple championships. Now, I think if Acosta leads them to an MLS Cup, He got him a supporter shield. They come back next year and win something, and he has another good season. And I think you can talk a little bit more about how he is, you know, like the player. But, you know, going into the season, we all thought Mukhtar was the best player. And then, you know, he has a down season this year. It's just, and not even like a down season, right? He's still on the all best 11, but just not an MVP season. And, but I do think we have a good shot that with the way those teams play, Logan, that might be one of our players that gets the second MVP, right? Like, Mukhtar plays pretty well. Acosta, if they have like another good season next year and he's integral to it again, and there's no like player that just comes out of it, what you have to look out for though is Messi MVP chances, depending on how they do.
Right.
And I know people are tired of the Messi stuff. Even my wife was like, I'm tired of this Messi stuff. And I was like,
he's the almost best player as popular ever. As Taylor Simmer Swift. Down.
Yeah. 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 Oh my God. If he was dating Taylor Swift, that talk about star power, guys. But it's just, you know, if he has a good season like he did with the League's Cup and he puts that together for a whole season, then we're looking at, you know, Messi is going to become MVP. He's just going to win votes too because of his name. Like, that's something you have to think about too. The way that I believe when he was put up for Newcomer of the Year, if you look at the people that voted for him in that, it was mostly the players, even though it doesn't meet, he didn't meet the requirements really. Cause he didn't play as much in MLS compared to League's Cup, and League's Cup shouldn't count towards those year awards. So it depends really. I think, but yeah, I definitely think Mukhtar and Acosta are our best chances to finally have somebody other than Preki have two MVPs in the league.
Yeah, just another fun stat. And this is from MLS.com. He's the 14th player in MLS history to record at least 50 goals and 70 assists. The last person to reach the, or sorry, the first, no, hold on, in their career. And the first person, or first player to reach that milestone since Diego Valeri. In 2019. So he's in that upper echelon. Like, if I'm thinking MLS, Diego Valeri is one of those names I think of that has been integral to the growth of the league. And it, you know, Jordan, I think you and I talked about this where Lucio has said that, you know, because we talked about players that wanted to leave Cincinnati, and we had Brandon Vasquez on that list. We had Brenner on that list. And Lucio Acosta actually got brought up in those speculation.
And Amaya.
Lucio came up in that speculation, but you and I both said that we thought there's a pretty good chance that he's a lifer.
And he just re-signed, right? Wasn't that, didn't we have that a few weeks ago?
Yeah, I think so. So, I think he's happy. He's content in the U.S.
And he's playing his best football right now. I mean, why leave, right? That's what I never understood. I get some people have, like, those aspirations for over there. But what I always looked at was, and this is what, like, the U.S. men's Twitter people don't understand when they put people like Jordan Morris down, right, who was comfortable at his home with his dog. He's got diabetes. He's worried about living overseas away from everybody. It's the comfortable, right? You're comfortable. But also, hey, he's won MLS Cups, right? So, I mean, like, you're still winning stuff. Are you winning at the highest level? No. But, like, at some point, we've talked about it so many times, Logan. At some point, we have to keep some of these players here. We have to. Because you need that little kid that's watching at the stadium to say, my dream is to be a soccer player, not to say, I need to join United. I mean, like, I need to join DC United or Philadelphia Union because they're my local teams to get me overseas. You want them to say, this is the team I grew up watching. This is who I want to be, right? Like when I grew up watching baseball, that team was ingrained in the community, and I grew up wanting to be an Orioles player, right? Not just a baseball player. I wasn't like, I'm going to go get drafted and then I want to get to the Yankees. No, right? Like, I wanted to play for my team. We need that for soccer here. We need these kids that are in markets to say, I want to represent Philly. I don't want to represent Philly in England and be a player that's just like, oh, he's from here. I want to represent my team. I want to lift them to a cup. I want to get them stuff like that. That's what we need. So when you keep players like Acosta, who DC tried to, right? He ended up leaving. There was rumors of him going to PSG at one point. That didn't really happen. And then he comes over here again, and he's playing well. Now you want Cincy fans to be like, I want to be like Acosta. I want to play here. I want to win games here. That's what you need to really take this league to the next level. At some point, we'll get there, right? I mean, like, the league is only still 30, not even 30 years old. That's what, a generation, maybe? When I was growing up, MLS wasn't around until I was 5 years old. So you need more. And then, like, my generation is growing up watching that. We're passing it down to our kids. And you just need that to happen a few more times before, you know, people are looking at it like that. I know that's not really what we were talking about. It was just a rant I had because I'm like, you know, there's so many people that use this as a stepping stone. And right now, that's good. Right now, that is the plan. That's what Philly does, right? They send the Aronsons overseas and they say, we're going to take money on that. But like, when I look at it, I want it. If I'm a kid, if I wanted to play, I'd be like, I want to play for my local team. They're my team. I want to help them win. It's the same way when you have like players that grew up supporting Chelsea grew up in the academy of Chelsea that want to win stuff at Chelsea, not somewhere else. But eventually players are just going to go wherever they can make their break as well. But little mini rant there. That's how you can tell we're still not quite there. Is what I'll say. We still have kids growing up that are local that want to go overseas. And that's going to be the case as long as the Champions League and stuff is, the Champions League is the biggest competition that we're ever going to face because it has the best players in the world and everybody wants to go play in that competition.
Yeah, all good points. No, I think you make an excellent point. Every single league has those players that you grew up watching that you know are going to be around, that grow the sport, that grow the league, that are in the league and remain in the league. I think many people that watched soccer when you and I were kids probably followed La Liga because Messi and Ronaldo were at their peak. I think a lot of people probably watched United, Liverpool. I think there were a lot of fans of Chelsea and City as that started to become a big thing. I think you're right. I think you've got to have those players. Like when I think Manchester City, I can think of players like a Julian Lescott or a Sergio Aguero or Vincent Kompany. Like we don't have that yet in the MLS, in the league at all. So, you know, you think about players that were, if you think about MLS, Jordan, and again, we talked about that Mount Rushmore, who would be on it. It's probably players that came over from Europe, honestly. It's those players that were at the end of their careers, like a David Beckham.
It's Beckham for what he's not just what he did for playing. He did win MLS Cups here.
Yeah.
But it's for changing the league to the point where we have Messi now, right? Like without Beckham, we don't have Messi, right? So
that's true.
So you have to put that type of stuff in. So Beckham's on the Rushmore. This is going to be an episode in the offseason. I think we should do that.
That'd be fun.
Yeah. Let's do an MLS Mount Rushmore in the off season. Let me write that down so I don't forget that. I have a list of future post-season episodes. So if anybody else has ideas, or if you want to send us names on who that Mount Rushmore would be, go ahead and send us that stuff and we can talk about it. And then I think you can even change it more and do a bigger one and say U.S. Not talking about U.S. national team, but just like players that have played here. Oh my God, you're talking about like Pele and Franz Beckenbauer and all. I mean, it's crazy. We'll stick to MLS when we do that. All right, so let's get to this. We did best 11. We did Luciano Acosta. There's not too many names I would disagree with on that best 11. I do think we have to come up with more qualifications. maybe we do have to have left backs and right backs on there. I don't know. It's tough. It's tough. It's not like football where you can be like, he is a all-pro quarterback, you know, or an all-pro lineman, left guard, you know, like they soccer, you can have so many things. You can actually put this team out if you wanted to. It may not do well, but you could. Okay. Orlando Columbus. This was the first game of the playoffs since they returned from their what felt like a month-long sabbatical. It was about 2 or 3 weeks without any games. I saw that was the talk of the town, people saying, hey, I forgot the league was even still playing. I think that was a little overstated. Maybe it's just because I'm a MLS head, but I never forgot they were I never forgot they were in the playoffs. It's just like, oh, we're paused. You know, we're paused a bit. I do think they have to figure out a better way to do this. And what I would think is if we can get all the way up to the conference finals before that November international break, then you have that international break as the build up to MLS Cup. You know, almost like how we have Super Bowl week where you have a week where there's like nothing going on and like the media is doing all this. You can drum up all of that. You'd be able to sell tickets with a week in advance of like, hey guys, we have 2 weeks until MLS Cup. Fill the stadium. You know, you'd get more publicity that way, maybe. I think that's the ideal way to go about it, because then it's not like, all right, we're paused after round one. And then the teams that did get knocked out, people are like, I don't really care anymore. But if you do it right before MLS Cup, then some of the casuals will probably still come back in because they have it circled. They're like, that's MLS Cup. I don't know. I just think it's got to be a better way than how they're scheduling it right now. I know it's tough with the international breaks, but I think what you have to do is get rid of the best of three. Or if you're going to do best of three, you're going to have the games be not on alternating days. You'd have to have all game one on Saturday, all game twos on Wednesday, all game threes on Saturday. You could maybe break it up a little bit where you have some game ones on Saturday, some on Sunday, some on Wednesday, some on Thursday, some on Saturday, some on Sunday. But I mean, I don't know. It did kill some of the, I think, discussion about it. And also, I mean, I think it kind of looked that way in the play a bit. You know, both of these games were 0-0 for quite a while. You know, until the 93rd minute for Columbus and for what, 90 plus six or something for Cincinnati. Part of that is, hey, we're kind of just waking back up again, you know? So if you want more entertaining games, I think you got to try to get these done before international break. Okay. Orlando Columbus. This was, I knew you were cursed, Logan. I knew when you're like, ooh, this is when the conference final will be. Maybe I should go to that. I was like, all right, they're losing.
Jinx that one.
And I only say that because I do the same thing with MLS Cup. I'm looking at like last year, like, oh, we could host it. No, it didn't work. You're muted.
Sorry, you glitched. I was like, what happened? I just saw you drink and I was like, did he say something? What did you say? I heard the MLS Cup part.
That was all I said. I said it did it. Okay. You know, like that's what I was thinking with MLS Cup all the time, like hosting it and stuff, and that didn't work.
Yeah, no, it did not. And probably will regret ever doing that. But yeah, no, that was not a fun day. Saturday night, not fun.
Yeah, because it was back to back, huh? It was yours, yeah, it was, and then mine. Brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Slagle gets a red card, second yellow. Really should not have done that. We talked about it over text, but this pull he does like a usual foul, you know, like what they would call a professional foul to be like, yank, nope, you're not getting through. He was the last guy already. Close to it. He wasn't really the last guy, but he already had a yellow. You can't do that. when you know they're going to call it, they're probably going to book you. It's late in the game. It was brutal. For somebody that had to get in goal one time, you'd think he would understand that. And it wasn't that dangerous of a thing. Like, the goalkeeper was able to go get it. And it really didn't seem like it was going to be that bad of a play. Maybe I have that wrong, but I don't know. I think that's what kind of screwed them. And then as you go into extra time, you're down a man. It just starts coming. And you have Ramirez in the 93rd and then Chucho in the 118th. That one not as egregious because obviously you're pushing everybody forward at that point. So it's bound to come then.
Yeah. I mean, it really did. It started to feel like, and again, when you go down a man, you're playing with 10 guys, your possession's not as much. You don't own possession of the ball. You're constantly under attack. It felt like Columbus had a lot more of just constant pressure in and around the box. I felt like their goal scoring opportunities were a little bit better. I think there was only one real chance that Orlando really seemed to have in that first half, and that was Martin Ojeda, where it was the first half, if I can remember. But it was like at a weird angle. It was a difficult shot. He missed it. And then it wasn't until the second half that they get another chance where they started to put a little bit of pressure on Columbus. But I never felt like Columbus was rattled by it. And, you know, they have experience in some of these big games. So they've got some players on their roster that have been there before. And it felt like Columbus had a good opportunity to strike. And when they did, it really flattened Orlando, just because I think, you know, like you said, I think Orlando's kind of a chippy team. So when they do get kind of bounced off of their line, they don't take that very well. And we've always been kind of like that. I would say that our temperament's not as great. We've got guys that do tend to get a little bit more fired up. And I think when you got players like that, and they're good players, but I think, you know, I constantly think of Pereira way back against the Revs, I believe it was, when I first started watching, and he went red card full, just, I don't know, drop kick right into one of the midfielders. I remember that specifically. He's always kind of had a hot head. Arusho in this match, he was close to getting a red. I mean, there was multiple times where he was all up in the ref's grill. I think it just felt like they lost their head a little bit. When Orlando does that, it feels like they can really get into that, just because I think they got players that are a little bit fiery. And Schlegel's the same way. Schlegel comes into the game frustrated. He comes into the game ready to cause problems. And I think he's kind of that physical chippy player that, again, he makes mistakes. He's not a starting center back, in my opinion. He's a great depth piece. I think he's always been a nice depth piece that you could fill him every once in a while, and he does pretty well, but he's just not going to give you consistency in the back. And they did. They really struggled in the midfield. I think Pereira struggles as a 10 now. He's gotten a little bit older. He's played a lot deeper in the midfield this year, so he's not been as creative. And Facundo Torres was pretty much non-existent. So, I don't know. It was a really tough game. I felt like our backs were against the wall pretty quickly, and I didn't feel good.
This Crew team, man, they're good. I saw them their first game of the season. They got ripped apart at Philly, but they looked really good. And I remember covering that game thinking, wow, the Crew look really good. And then the Union came out of nowhere and scored four to make it, you know, a 4-1 win. But I said after that on this show, they're going to be a good team this year. They're going to the conference final. They're going to face Cincinnati in a Hell is Real derby, which a lot of people say are like, oh, yeah, we'll get to the fixing allegations in the next game. But, just insane how good this Crew team has been under Wilfred Nancy. And then also, like, Schulte just having an outstanding game and goals, preventing Orlando quite a few times, and when they could have won the game or equalized late before the 118th minute goal. But the big question now is Oscar Pereira. He's out, right? He's out of contract anyway. We don't really know what is to come with him. I'm trying to read this article real quick that says what they're expecting. And I don't really see much here. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's an article written by Charles Bohm on the MLSsoccer.com, and it's pretty much just questioning, hey, will he stay or go? His future's uncertain. What's your thoughts on the vibe in Orlando? I mean, he got them to their highest ever finish. I think that's probably the furthest they've gotten on the playoffs too, right? What's next? I can't imagine the teams just being like, bye. I mean, that would be really lame.
Yeah. Part of me thinks that they're going to hang on to him. I personally would love for them to hang on to him. I think he's done a fantastic job. This year it was taking a little bit longer to kind of get the ball rolling, but once it did, it didn't stop. They had great momentum. I think they were probably one of the hottest teams. I would say argue maybe SKC was hotter. But there were moments where I thought, you know, they were probably favorites heading into the playoffs because of how well they've been playing. And all of that's from Oscar. And really, I mean, since he's been here, they haven't really had that bad of a season. Like, it may be disappointing, but I don't think you're going to find anything else that's better out there. Like, the way that MLS has gone in hiring, I would hate to see who would step in. It would be somebody off the streets. It would be somebody that we know. And it would be, like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, I don't know who they would go to next unless they somehow could pull a bigger talent from somewhere else. But I don't see that happening. I mean, they are a pretty talented roster. I think they're going to run back pretty much the same squad. I would doubt Facundo Torres is still around, but who knows? Crazier things have happened. I just feel like his services are going to be wanted overseas. But I feel like the rest of the team, I think they're pretty much there to stay. I think Duncan's got a good another year under him before he heads off somewhere else. I feel like Angulo's played really well. I thought he was probably one of the most impressive pieces. So the team's all there. I think they're going to run back that same roster, add a DP spot, maybe that number 10 role, because they have a DP spot open, add another center back, and then they're ready to roll again. And I'd love to do it under Oscar. I personally would be upset if they let go of Oscar Pareja, just because I think the players like him, fans love him. I just think they haven't quite got over that hump yet. But I would think that hump might be next year. They've got great young pieces, and I think this is their first year, a crack at it in MLS. Next year might be the year that, you know, Orlando is probably one of the top Eastern teams. So I say run it back. It'd be stupid to let Oscar go, because wherever he goes next, he's going to do pretty well, I think.
Yeah, I would think the only way he doesn't come back is if he decides not to renew, yep. Right? Like, it's amazing that they let it go this long and yeah. With how good of a season they had. So
I find it weird.
Yeah.
I find that very strange. Like, almost like there might be somewhere else he'd rather be. I just can't think of where. I don't know where that would possibly be right now, but I don't know.
All right. Let's go to Cincinnati, Philadelphia. Mosquera scoring in the 90+4. This one had some controversial stuff as well. People saying he's offside. I will say he looks very offside by the angle. And I also want to verify that Paul Tenorio, I think it was today, said that the angle that they kept referring to on the broadcast that the refs kept saying they had was very clear is the one that they showed on TV, which I would say is not very clear. Now, I want to preface this. I am a Philadelphia Union fan, but I don't try to let that sway my opinion on this. And at first I was like, yeah, he's like way offside. The more I look at it, the more I doubt it, honestly. And I know people will be like, well, I used a geometry thing, whatever they're trying to do. But when I look at this picture, I can see the lines in the grass. And this angle is awful because it starts off very small at the top. And then by the time it gets to the bottom, it's like huge. So while it looks like if you're looking at the line of the grass, Mosquera's shoulder is touching the next line in the grass while who's keeping him on? Carranza? Carranza's shoulder is not touching the line of the grass. But with the way that it's angled, I could see them actually. I think they kept him on. At least it's close enough to not be able to overrule it, honestly. And I think people, we cannot go by these angles on the TV. They're not clear. This thing is not really clear at all. Let me see if I can try to bring it up on the video here, because I think it might help to have some sort of visual aid. But I mean, it is what it is. These calls happen, and I know people say go to VAR, but they did the check. They thought it's not clearly wrong, and remember, that's what we're doing here, right? We're not trying to, and I don't want it to get to the point where we are breaking out the rulers or doing some sort of geometry to figure out if they're onside or not. If it's egregious, overturn it. If it's not egregious, leave it as is. I don't need this to become a game of centimeters instead of, you know, I mean, while you can say, well, technically he was offside and that's illegal. Even if they say, I think somebody did the math and said that from their model, he's offside by 3 inches. That's not actually... That's not actually an advantage. It's just not, right? And he's not even, the guy that's offside is not even the one that scores, right? He gets this, heads it back in to the center where nobody picks him up, and then he scores. I mean, that's just what happens here, right? So here on the picture, his foot is kicking the ball. So now see this line here starts off really large down here, right? This grass right by the linesman's head. The linesman is equal. And again, here, this is how you can tell the thing is totally off, right? The linesman is supposed to be even with the last defender, right? So if we look at the last defender right here, Carranza, number 9, right? Look at where the linesman is, way past the line, right? Because of the angle. So if he is even with Carranza, right? That's showing you what type of angle we're kind of dealing with here, which to me would show he's onside. That's as best as I can describe it from this picture here. But again, if it's just 3 inches, I don't want that overturned, right? Like, to me, offsides has to be there's an advantage, right? The advantage should be, it was put in to stop cherry picking. People just hanging out in front of the goal. This is not cherry picking. For me, I don't care. The Union had plenty of opportunities to win the game before this moment. I can't just be upset with the refs. This is the hardest thing to do in real time, by the way, is tell if somebody is offside or not, you know? But that's what I would say. This angle is crazy. This is a huge green grass here, light green grass. Up here, it goes from one cat logo to three cat logos away. Right? So it's a very short distance between there. So to me, that just shows like this angle sucks. So one thing you have to do, if you're Apple, if you want to get this league better on the map and stuff, we need more angles. We need it to be like the NFL where there's an angle for almost like every little thing. I don't know. I don't really care. Put one of the pylon cameras on the linesman or something. I don't know. Like, there has to be a way. The linesman is supposed to be even with him, right? So if the linesman has a camera that can at least measure, take a screenshot or whatever, that's one way you can do it. I don't know, but this is not just an MLS issue. This is everywhere talking about how we're looking at just centimeters on if they're offside or not. And it's totally losing the plot on what offsides are supposed to prevent, which is just supposed to stop people from like cherry picking the ball. There's no advantage if you're like leaning slightly more forward.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've harped on this so much because we did Stoppage Time Soccer Show, which, I mean, VAR back then was crazy, and VAR now here is crazy, and people are like, well, we have a better method, and should limbs count? Because limbs aren't really an advantage, especially your upper torso. Like, if your arm's out, that shouldn't count because it should be your feet, because your feet are the only thing giving you advantage in soccer.
Yeah, the only thing that counts is supposedly, like, your shoulder.
Right.
When you're looking at the arm, because you can technically shoulder the ball into the goal. But again, who's going to attempt that? Who would try to be like, I'm going to shoulder this one in today, man?
Yeah.
I always think if... Here's the easiest way to do it, honestly. If the part they don't score on is what's offside, let it stand.
Mm.
So if his head is offside, but he scores with his foot, why wipe that out? His foot was onside. I just don't understand why we bother about that. His head did nothing.
Yeah. But, no, you know what's weird to me, too, is, like, how good our technology is nowadays, and we can't figure this out? Like, I don't get it. Like, there's got to be some way that you can truly figure this out with all the cameras and AI that we have and just this intelligence of you know, everything. Like, the machines can do it all. Why we don't have this is beyond me. I don't know. I think it's very strange. But, again, we can check the goal line VAR and have it squared away when the ball hits the line. How come we can't have this with somebody's foot? It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, the bad thing is, I think we can with the way that they do these, you know, Europe ones where it's like, oh, his pinky toe was off, so it's offside. And you're like, come on. It was all about advantage. There's no advantage to that. Whatever. I'm fine with it the way it is. And that's really the talking point. That's what everybody's been talking about. So, of course, I've been seeing this nonstop because I am a Philly fan and that's who I follow on Twitter. So this is what they've been talking about. Saying it's rigged so they can get a Hell is Real derby. Let me tell you, nobody cares about Ohio. They're not rigging this for Ohio, okay? They're not. If they wanted to rig something, it would be Messi somehow getting in against LAFC. That's what it would be. Not Cincy Columbus in the conference finals. All right, Houston has beat SKC. Escobar scoring a header off of a really nice Hector Herrera corner kick. And a powerful header, too. This is the only goal of the game, so SKC's run ends here in Houston. These rivals that have played each other a million times in the playoffs. And Houston takes it. And now they will go ahead and face LAFC, who they've beaten earlier this season, if I am not mistaken. Twice? Is that right? I have to check now. I have to go to FB Ref and double check my thing here. Because I think I remember them being like really good against LAFC this season. Which is interesting now, because you're hoping if you're... a fan who doesn't want to see LAFC win back-to-back, which means anybody outside of LA, you're looking at Houston getting to an MLS Cup final. Which, by the way, would be insane after winning the Open Cup and like Ben Olsen taking them to an MLS Cup final, maybe winning it if they can get past LA. So they played LAFC back-to-back in June. They also played them. They only play them twice? Yeah, I guess they only played them twice. I feel like they played each other three times. They beat LAFC both times, 4-0 and 1-0. And they won 1-0 away from home, which is where they're going to have to go. So it's possible for Houston Dynamo to reach two finals this season, which, again, nobody really had predicted.
Yeah, coming in, I think people found that Houston was probably going to sit either bottom of that playoff group or not even close to the playoffs. I think many people thought they were just kind of a mess. Ben Olsen was somebody that I think a lot of people, well, was somebody that nobody thought was going to be the person that really turned it around. I will say, though, Jordan, give yourself credit, because I feel like you... out of most people I heard talk, gave them the most credit for making this signing, saying that Ben Olsen had done a nice job in DC. You felt like this was a perfect fit for them, that they brought in the experience. He's done it. He's been successful in DC. He had those teams with Lucho and Wayne. He's got this team now with Ace Ace, and they're playing really well. They're a lot of fun to watch, and you and I liked watching them throughout the season. I think we laughed because they played more Eastern Conference teams than I think the Eastern Conference teams did.
Especially at the beginning of the season. And you know right, what? Yeah. That was the harder division, wasn't it?
It was.
And they had a great great battle against those Eastern Conference teams. Though if they have to face Cincy in the final in Cincy, they lost to them week one, 2-1.
Yeah. But no, kudos to them though. Like, man, Houston's probably always been a pretty tough place to play, but now the fans are back and they're invested in the team. It seems like they finally have the right coach in place. I feel like Ben Olsen's the perfect fit. It's a good sports town. It's got great support. That stadium's really difficult to play in. I felt like they played really well at home this year. I think having somebody like Hector Herrera is helpful just because he's played in some of the biggest games on the world's biggest stages. So having him, having Bossy, just having the veteran presence, you've got a guy like Steve Clark that's been around forever.
That's what I was going to say. I think he's been huge for them this season.
Right. So, and they've defended pretty well, and I feel like they've anchored that. I know a lot of people thought when Tim Parker left, this thing was just going to go into a shit show, I guess I can say. But it really is. It's been fun to watch them. It's a lot of players that I think were kind of written off our tour, right? So I think it's got a lot of guys that have been kind of just passed aside. And they've come together collectively as a team, and they're one of the most fun teams to watch now. So I'm excited to see what they do against LAFC, and I'm sure we'll do predictions. I'm pretty high on the Dynamo, and I'm excited to kind of see what they do next, even if they add a couple of players in the offseason. I think this team really headed in the right direction.
I totally forgot that Clark played for DC during the Ben Olsen era.
Was he really?
Yeah, 2017-2018.
Huh.
He wasn't like the starter, I don't believe. I think that would have been Bill Hamid still. But, I mean, he was on 2017's DC United. Yeah, he only played 5 matches, 2017. That was before he went to Portland and kind of became a starter, and then now with the Dynamo being a... I always keep forgetting he's with the Dynamo now. See him on screen and be like, oh yeah, that's where he is. But he's been playing so well for them, and you know, you have that experience, and like you said, you have Hector Herrera, you have Franco Escobar, you know, like they have a pretty good squad. And, but, you know, if you're a Houston fan, you're probably a little worried. It's like, oh, okay, this will be the one time we lose to LAFC right before a final or something. But let's talk about it. LAFC, Denny Bouanga scores in the first half in the 30th minute to lift them past Seattle. Seattle had 8 shots on goal to LAFC's 2, 16 shots to 7, 69% possession. But couldn't get it done. Ladero is leaving. It's a little bit of a time now for Seattle to maybe reflect. I keep seeing Seattle fans, or some Seattle fans, I don't know how many, but I see on Twitter some of the, especially this one guy just keeps going off on him, like, Smetcher needs to go. I'm like, the guy that brought you 2 MLS Cups? Sure. Sure, yeah, he needs to go.
Somebody else would take him. Maybe that's what Orlando's waiting for.
Yeah, they're like, please fire Smetcher, please.
Right, I think a lot of people might be. Honestly, it could be. Like, I could see that. Like, that very baseball-esque. Well, you wait for the manager to be canned and go, that might be a better option there.
Yeah, you had your team do that earlier.
Yeah, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but LAFC, look, they didn't really impress me this game. They won... I think they're there for the taking still this year. I've seen some people say, well, they're going to become back-to-back champs. And I'm like, I can't say that yet. It's rare for MLS to get back-to-back champs. They don't look that strong, I don't think. I think Houston can take him down. I really do. And if not, I think Cincy can take him down. If Cincy gets there, Columbus could take him down. Anybody can win out of these four teams. And I'm hoping somebody does, because I just don't really want a back-to-back MLS Cup champion. I want somebody else to get their moment in the sun now.
Want a fun fact?
Sure.
Only two of those teams currently sit in the playoffs that were in the playoffs last year, Cincinnati and LAFC. LAFC won. Jordan, Houston finished 13th last year, and the Crew finished 8th and weren't that great. Mm-hmm. Fired a coach. It's funny.
They both made moves in the offseason that got them here.
Right. Yeah. Right. Had a whole turnover. And this is where, like, I would like to emphasize, if people are watching this because they're just getting into MLS, or like, what are we watching here? What, you know, we're excited about the playoffs, but I don't know what team to latch on to. Any team. It doesn't matter how bad they are. Cincinnati has been bad for so long. Last year, finally had a good year, made the playoffs, performed pretty well in the playoffs, but had some work to do. Did really well this year, won Supporter Shield. Like, this league is so unpredictable. And that's why when you and I do predictions, and we say that all the time, it's like, these could be totally wrong. And they are 100% totally wrong. Neither of you or I probably had the Dynamo near close to the playoffs. There you go. 13th. We had it predicted that they were
going to finish. I had them 13th, but I was still high on them. That's what tells you how bad they were last year.
Right.
The East, we had Cincy in 4th.
Yeah.
We were close on Orlando.
We were close there. Yeah.
We had LAFC. I had LAFC 1. You had Austin 1. That didn't age well.
No.
I did have Sporting in the playoffs, though. A lot of people didn't. They made it in. Just going to say that.
Yeah.
No.
But again, just.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
I would say there are some teams you can steer clear of. With the way that the Panthers are going right now, I'd say steer away from Charlotte. FC.
Stay away from Red Bull.
Probably stay away. If you want constant playoffs but no wins, follow Red Bulls. Earthquakes are really a nothing team, unfortunately. They play well and then they get in a playoff and then lose. Or they don't make the playoffs. They just play awful. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of like alluding to what Curtin said, right? Like, he'd rather be playing in these big games and constantly competing in these big games and lose than just like be in bottom of the barrel, which some of these teams are. Like, you know, we can point at somebody like, I know, like Chicago, right?
Yeah.
Like Chicago. Yeah. And I don't want to like harp on Chicago, but really, like, they played well at points this season, all that. They keep rebooting and they keep going to a point where they finish near bottom, maybe middle, maybe they make the playoffs 1 year, and then it falls apart. And they haven't done anything since 98 when they won MLS Cup in their first year. And that's really it for Chicago. So there's those type of teams that still exist in this league. And I almost put that more on ownership than I do on anything else. Because this league is built for, if you want to turn it around, like since he turned it around, you can turn it around. You can find that coach. You can put money into the team. You can find that GM that's going to build it right. And they're going to take you to constant competing. Like Philly, even though their owner doesn't spend that much, they found a good GM, a good coach, and they're constantly there. Cincy put more money into the team, but they are constantly going to be there now, I feel like. Columbus, they fired their coach when it wasn't working. Only a year or two after winning MLS Cup, and then they're right back in the hunt for it again. You can do it as long as you're willing to spend the money and find the smart people. But when you are constantly not wanting to put money into a team, that's when you're going to have some of those teams that just don't go anywhere. They might make the playoffs because like 90% of the teams make the playoffs, but they're not having a realistic chance.
Yeah. No, it's just, and we keep watching these games, and I keep thinking about that, just how great this league is. Because, I mean, seriously, Cincinnati was a laughing stock of the league. Like, a laughingstock.
What, three people straight thought, wooden spoons?
Three straight, yeah. Order two, right? I think it was two.
I think it was three because they have three eyes in Cincinnati, and somebody made a Cincinnati with wooden spoon right, for actually. Each eye.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Just like LAFC, of course. But again, they're really the only big market team that I can think of that have consistently done what they're supposed to do as a big market team. Like they are the iconic big market, big spenders, throw money, perform well, get the highest coaches, get the best assistant coaches, get the, you know, front office staff. Other teams want to pluck off their office staff. Like they are the ideal franchise right now. Seattle was at that point. I think they've kind of dipped a little bit just because the talent's gotten old and they haven't reinvested in young. I think that'll take a bit. I don't know if that happens under Schmetzer. Maybe that's what Seattle fans are clamoring for, is maybe it's time to kind of revamp it. If you're going to go young and find a new coach like a Steve Cherundolo, which I think MLS teams are afraid to do, is kind of take that, you know, next step. They just like the coaching carousel. But like you said, Jordan, there's really good teams in this league. I'm really excited about the direction that we're headed in. Miami's going to be an absolute threat next year in the Eastern Conference because they will have the star power that Messi does bring over here. I think they'll have one of the best strikers if they do bring in Luis Suarez. Like, this league is getting really, really good, really, really fast. Teams are starting to invest. And if you don't invest, and the point I'm going to is, if you're not investing like Houston has now, like a Cincinnati has, like Atlanta has, like Miami has, like these other teams are going to start to get left behind. There's rumors of that fourth DP coming along. Like, these playoff teams are going to start to become more consistent. The Crew invests a lot of money into what they do. Wilfred Nancy is probably one of the best coaches, if not the best coach in this whole league. They are. You're starting to see some separation, Jordan. I think it'll be interesting to kind of see how we go from here, because I feel like 2023, we can mark this down as one of those years that teams are really going to start to separate themselves in the investment and the time that they're taking. And I can point straight to the two New York teams and say those two teams do not invest their time, nor their money, nor their efforts or resources into anything that's productive on that side of the field anymore. So again, the playoffs have reminded me of just how good this league is getting.
Yeah.
And it's exciting because it's parity. There's always somebody new at top. So,
so just to say what we picked last week, we both picked Orlando. We were wrong. We both picked the Union. We were wrong. You picked Sporting. I picked Houston. And you picked LAFC. I picked Seattle. So we each got one right over on the West. All right, now it's time to preview the matches here and make our wrong predictions over again. We have the Hell is Real Derby, Saturday, December 2nd. Cincy, Columbus, 6 p.m. in Cincinnati. Who do you got?
Did you ask me who I have?
Yeah, sorry.
I'm going to get some hate for this one if people listen. I'm going to go big brother over little brother because I still think Cincinnati's the little brother until they prove the Crew that they're not. So I'm going to go Crew upset Cincinnati in the Hell is Real Derby. The Crew, man, like, having played them, they are a really good team with a lot of experience. Like, they've got some experienced players that come from different national teams that have played in this situation before, that really do feel like they are going to start to play like an MLS Cup finalist kind of team. And ultimately, I think they get it. I think Wilfred Nancy is ready for the match, I think, in a place where it's going to be hostile. But again, I think we see who's the better coach here, and I think it's Wilfred Nancy right now. So I'm really excited because I think this will probably be the best game that we get in all the playoffs. I'm going to say this is the one that will be, it'll finish 3-2. I'm going to say it's a barn burner and just go with a 3-2 Hell is Real, one of those classics that we get.
Well, it's interesting because I have Cincy winning. But when they play at home, since he plays at home, they beat the Crew this year. When they played on the road, Crew beat them 3-0, right? When they played at home, Logan, the score was 3-2. But you have it reversed going with Columbus. So I'm going to go with Cincy. I have it as 2-1. I think Cincy is the team to beat, and they're definitely still beatable, but I just have to take the home field advantage. I'm going to have to take the home field advantage. They've played the Crew well there earlier this year. This is what they've been going for all season long, is to get that home field advantage. They got it. It's time to do something with it and be able to host MLS Cup. And if not, then MLS Cup is going to be hosted in Columbus, because it's definitely an Eastern team that gets to host it this year. All right, so LAFC versus Houston. Who do you got here?
I'm going absolutely wild again. I'm going to go Houston in this one, too.
That's who I have.
Yeah, I just like the way they've defended all year. I thought they played really well. Having a goalkeeper that is a veteran goalkeeper that's been there and done that and played on championship-level teams, like, having that is such a force. But I don't know. I just have a really good feeling. I think Houston will do a really nice job of shutting down Dene Boanga. I think that he's really their only true threat. Carlos Vela, of course, could always score, but he's just not been the same person for a long time. I don't know. I feel really good about Houston. I feel like they've kind of weathered the storm, and I feel like LAFC can't repeat again, right? They can't do a repeat, and I feel like they're not going to even repeat and get into the finals. I feel like this could be the letdown, right? This could be the one where people go, wow, really, Houston? I don't know. I'm completely sold on what Houston's done. So, and plus, I'd love to see Ben Olsen kind of shock some people.
Yeah, I have Houston as well. I'm going to go with, did you give a score? I'm going to go ahead with Houston. Let's do 2-0. Shutting them out.
You stole mine. I was going 2-0 too.
All right, both 2-0. So we're putting our all eggs in one basket here. So we'll see who's right, who's wrong, which would mean a Houston Cincy for me, Houston Columbus for you. I don't think you can lose with that type of final, really. I think that's a good final.
Yeah, either one I think would be a lot of fun. So,
And then at that point, the only team that has not won an MLS Cup that's left is Cincinnati. So really, if you're looking for, I wouldn't say underdog because they are the best team in MLS this season. But if you're looking for an underdog who hasn't won something before at this level, you know, like an MLS Cup, if you're neutral, might want to hop on the Cincy train there. Columbus has won a couple. Houston won a couple. I was in the stands for one of Houston's wins against the Revolution. And LAFC just won last year. So if you're looking for somebody new, you're going to want it to be Cincy. If you're looking for somebody that hasn't won in a while, it'd be Cincy or Houston. Houston hasn't won since 2007 when I was in the stands. So maybe that means I have to go to the game if they make it.
And if you hate the Philadelphia Union, you're rooting for LAFC.
Or Cincy. You can't go wrong, man. You're rooting for both of them if you hate Philadelphia.
If you hate Ohio, you want a Western Conference team.
pretty much. Yeah. All right. That about wraps us up. And then after that, of course, we get the final at 4 p.m. on Saturday, December 9th on MLS Season Pass and Fox, apparently, having the final. I thought the final was originally supposed to just be on Apple TV, but that's interesting. And then, of course, MLS Season Pass for the games this weekend. But yeah, that wraps us up here. I hope everyone has a great rest of their week. I hope everyone had a great holiday. And we will catch you next time when we break down and then the conference finals and then preview MLS Cup 2023.